One of the things that I get to do, that I love to do, is take in new partners. And this morning, we're taking in a new partner. Now, normally, we call it members. The rest of the Nazarene churches, except for a few, call it membership. And I'm stubborn. I like partnership. And the reason I like partnership is because I feel like it puts you in the same mode as everybody else, that you are called to be partners in the mission here at First Church of the Nazarene. That and it's not intended in the mentality of membership to just sit and idly just receive from the church, but it has that connotation a little bit. I feel like partnership just gives it more of that oomph to say, no, I'm in this with us this morning and for the rest of this year and the rest of the time I commit to being here at this church, that I'm partnering in the mission. And our mission, just to remind you, is to connect to Jesus, connect people to Jesus, to connect ourselves to Jesus, right? In everything that we do those things, to grow closer to God, right? To know that God is the ruler of us, and my faith journey is not stagnant. I have a role in my journey in faith, and it requires me to grow. And so when I'm partnering, I want to connect people to Jesus. I want to grow closer to God, and then I want to serve him. I want to serve him. He definitely has a call on each and every single one of you. He really does. And he wants to use you. He's got gifts that he has put on you personally. He has designed you in a way to lift up his kingdom. He has, whether you believe it or not. And then my job is to help you figure that out. My job is to help convince you. My job is to say, let's equip you to do God's ministry. All right? And we're taking in a new partner this morning. And I'm going to call him up. Colin, come on up here. Colin Kalmani he's transferring his membership, and he's going to be a partner with us. I want you to know, I have the pleasure of standing at the door with this guy, and he's awesome. He's smooth talking, all right? He gives Logan a hard time. I love it, all right? And first and foremost, I can tell this about Colin. He's a great friend. He really is. He talks about his friends at college. You can tell he is invested. And the verse we read this morning, what makes a great friend? That you love them the same way Jesus loves us. I see that in Colin. I see that gift in him. I'm excited that we are taking Colin in, because not only do we get another partner in this mission, but we also get somebody that has the heart to love people as Jesus has loved him. Right? It's an asset, and we are stronger this morning because he is saying, yes, I want to be part of this call. Am I right? Yeah? All right, good deal. Making sure, putting you on the spot, but welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're with us.
Glad to be
all
here.
Right. It helps to have all your tools when you come up. I have a tendency to forget this one little thing. We are doing a whole new series. We started last Sunday. It's day one versus one day mentality. And I will tell you, I started this because it's the new year, new me kind of mentality. I want to be different. I want to look different. I want to sound different. I actually want to lose some weight, look good. Last night was a blow to my whole personality. My wife, in the most innocence of like saying in a moment, she just goes, "You look heavier." And I was like, "I love you." And then I went and worked out. Got up at 3 this morning. I was like, "No. Yeah." Feel like I didn't lose anything, but I'm here. There's more of me. All right? But I have this desire, like I have wanted to get strong. I want to go to the gym. And I have played the role of one day I will get there versus the idea, let's make this day one. And we're talking about the idea in our faith walk with God. And some of the things we do with God, I think and I believe we have this one day kind of faith walk. That one day I will read scripture, I will pray, one day I will share the gospel, one day I'll be what God really wants me to be, one day. And we have that desire and we have that kind of ambition, but we haven't taken day one yet. Or we've tried day one and never made it to day two. And so we were going to talk about what that looks like and what the benefits of taking day one versus one day. All right? Last week we talked about this idea of living in the rearview mirror. And I mentioned Natalie is starting to drive. She got her permit. We have a 15-year-old daughter with a permit during horrible months to learn to drive. And I'm type, like, when to stop. All right? Love you. She'll love me later, all right? But no, like, living, the idea was this, right? If our windshield was reversed and we had 90% of our windshield looking out of it, rearview mirror, and just the 10%, the part where we could look forward. It'd be kind of scary, right? Am I right? Like, just sit, if you're driving today, I challenge you. The whole way home, just look in your rearview mirror. Do it. No, that's horrible advice, right? Spiritually, I think we kind of do that. We get caught up in that. We get what was and who was. And sometimes we even get caught up in the idea like what was been, God can't use. Right? But this is the thing. I think spiritually we need that reverse. I think it is great to look back. I do. I think it's healthy for us to see where we came from because it gives us an understanding spiritually where we are today and how God is working, where God did work. There have been times in my life that if me and my wife sat down and looked at how we made it through, it was only God. It was only God. How to pay those bills. It was only God. How we dealt with crisis. It was only God. And it's fun to look back at those. It's fun to look back for me to go, this is where I was. A goofy teenager sitting in these seats right here. Letting the messages go over my head, but knowing God is real. Being drawn to my brothers and sisters in the youth group, just wanting to be what God has called us and looking at them and going, we're the disciples of today. Man, that changed me. That moved me to a trajectory in my life that goes, there are many moments that I could look back and like, I was never good enough. I never felt like I was good enough. I didn't think I could be used by God. I stand here because of what God has done in my life, not anything because of what I can do. I mean that. God has changed me. He's wrecked me. He's challenged me. I stand up here today, and this is my ocean. This is where I stand in the deep and go, okay, you've told me to preach your sermon. You told me to preach your gospel, and man, Lord, please don't let me mess it up. May it be something that God has put on my mouth, my heart, and it is poured out upon the people. And don't let any of the things that I have that's corruptible invade it. God is good. And I stand here as a testimony of that. And it's easy to relish in that rearview mirror of where God has moved. But this is the thing. God is still moving. God is still wanting us to be a part of His mission, His vision, His desire to go and change a world that needs His love. Am I right? Man, we can easily watch the news. We can easily bask in what this nation is going to hell in a handbasket, right? It's easy to see that. It's easy to be wrapped up in that. But God is saying, no, you were filled with my love. You were filled with my spirit. I've changed you. Guess what? You are the missionary. You are the asset that goes out into this world and shows what I have done in you. You don't get to sit idly by with your faith walk. You are challenged to live it out. And this morning we're going to talk about some things that's almost elementary, but it's hard to commit to. I heard a story about a great coach, and one of the things that I loved about the story, and just to let you know, if I wasn't to be a pastor, my desire would have been to be a college basketball coach. Like, that was my dream. I don't think I would have ever been a college basketball coach, but that would have been my dream, especially to be a Illini college basketball coach. Like, that's every, like, cherished memory of basketball. Like, I love that. I still watch it. They're on one today, so we'll get out early. All right? I root for them. I'm passionate about them. I love college basketball. I love Illinois basketball. I can tell you my favorite players. Like, they're part of it, right? And I heard this amazing story about a coach. And a player said, this is what makes this coach amazing. He would take a towel and just soak it. And he would just wring and wring all the talent out of that player. And what are you saying is everything that was within me, he used to the benefit of that team. And I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. That's a great analogy when it comes to me and God. And I started to think, like, what does my wringing out look like? And I got a little fearful because I thought, am I just this dry towel? Because I think sometimes we get that point. That we're dried, we feel almost useless. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a great avenue that God has given us a gift to soak us in his spirit. The very first off, let me start us off. The word. In John 1, it's awesome. I love this verse. I love, because there's things hidden in it. And I love things that are hidden. I love trying to find it out. I love trying to search for it, the hidden of it, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to stop right there before we go on. You see anything wrong in those verses? Word is capitalized multiple times, right? You go, well, what's wrong with the author? What's going on here? Right? You probably have heard this, that word means something there. It's intentional to be capitalized. It is in reference to a person. It's just basically saying, this is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Wow, this is awesome. Like, this is cool. Like, it is a double meaning. It's not just meaning just Jesus. Jesus is this. The whole story here. All these books that are in here. All these letters that are in here. Guess who it points to? Guess who it's about? Guess everything that's in it pertains to is Jesus. Old and new. Right? Now, let me give you some thought processes here. Like, it can be difficult to read this. There's books of the Bible I avoid to read up on the stage because good luck at me trying to translate them. Good luck at me trying to even say it. But is what I want to say that when I read it. I'm not the best reader. I'm not the best enunciator of words. It's just not my gift, right? And I understand, but the reality is this. This is filled with a lot of meat. It points us to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now, let me read. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. It's pretty deep stuff, right? Pretty deep stuff. And my mind started to think about the analogy. And I started to think about when we include the Word in our life, we start to be soaked up, right? Now it's really cold, and the water's cold, and I'm just getting through being outside. And I started thinking about what it would look like if I took this and just started slinging it. All right, I'm looking at this front and splash zone. What did you say about me yesterday? Yeah. And I get to hide behind, this is a sermon. And I started thinking about, like, there's no way I'm going to get this completely dry just straining it, right? But as a squeeze, what came out? Water. And I didn't even have to squeeze that much. Like, it's so sopping wet that it's oozing it, right? Some of you are like, what's he doing? He's ruining the... Like, it's okay, it'll dry. We've had floods. All right. I started thinking about this. Does my life show this? When I'm squeezed, when I'm stressed, when I'm depressed, when I'm hurting, when work's not good, when home life's not good, what comes out of me? Right? And then I started thinking about this. This is the crazy, crazy bin idea, the crazy thing. Like, and I'm not going to do it because there's too many expensive things up here, and I don't want you going away mad at me. But I really thought spiritually in my faith journey, like, we are called to be the announcers of the gospel. Whether we speak it out or a voice, whether we live it out, we go the extra mile, right? We care about those who are not cared for. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And in my mind, my life resembles this wet towel just slinged over my head. Just whirlwind. And everybody's being sprayed, and they're not mad because they're getting wet. They're going, what is going on? Because I am feeling the love of God, and it is something different than what this world portrays. In fact, it's even different from sometimes how we portray God. Our first thing that we usually do with God is get very judgmental with God. And what I love about the verses that Adam read this morning, we are called to love each other. And the very first thing, when I whip this around, is this idea is how people are in the splash zone of my faith journey of how I love them because of how God has loved me. That means I have to forgive those who are unforgivable. I have to be willing to go to the cross and lay all my sins down and admit it. This is where I fail, and this is where I'm no good, and this is where... But God has saturated me, and I am redeemed. I am different. And I want us to understand, and we can look at the next verse. Oh, yeah, see, awesome. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and active." I could stop there and preach hours on this. The Word of God is alive and active. What makes it dead is us in our approach to it. Imagine planning a date with a significant other and you just go there and hang out on your phone. You just go and like, man, I really just like this food. I don't want to really talk to you. your kind of excuse to be in this presence. The analogy is so good. Do you know that we kind of do that? Like, I love being here in this presence. I love being able to worship. I love kind of being motivated by a sermon. I love those things, but, you know, I don't necessarily need to be connected with God 100%. It's harsh. But this is reality. Like, imagine the whole time being at that table and going, I don't like our server. The meat's not quite done the way I want. And not really focusing on the one that you're on a date with. In fact, do you think they want to go back on a date with you? I had a date. I had a date that I took this person out. It was homecoming weekend. And the plan was to go and eat. And this person did not eat. And I still ate. And we talked. I really talked. That person listened. And then other people came up to the table that I knew. It was homecoming week at Olivet. And I was a sophomore. This person was a freshman. And it was probably one of those dates like I thought, this person does not see any interest in me. They're not talking to me. They're not eating. And I was like, by the time it was like, I think 8 o'clock, right? I said, hey, let's go. I'm ready to drop you off at the dorm. And she looked at me and finally perked up and was like, I can't go back yet. I don't want to be a loser. Can we go do something? And I was like, everything closes soon. It's Olivet. What can we do? And I had a car. She didn't have a car there. And she was like, I really like your car. Can I drive it? And I was like, okay. And we just drove around for a while. And then I dropped her off. And we didn't date for a long time. I'm really throwing you under the bus. I love you very much. Please forgive me. If anybody has extra rooms, please, we'll talk afterwards. All right? And I'm using this as an example because I feel like we tend to do this with our faith walk with God. We want all the blessings that God bestows, but we don't want the commitment of the relationship with God. His word is alive and active. Are you ready to participate in it? If it's dead, if you feel like your spirit is dead this morning, if you feel like you haven't heard from God in a while, I'm going to put the onus on us, not God. I'm going to put the onus on us not being actively pursuing God. Looking for His Word, listening for His Word, knowing that His Word can change our lives, knowing that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. You see, the more that I read this, the more I understand who Jesus is and how He loves me and how He desires. The question as a youth minister for 20 years is, what does Jesus want from me? How can I serve Him? And guess what? Adults still have that question. Do you know where the answers are at? It's not with the pastor. It's not with the discipler. It's not with anybody. It's in Scripture. It's in your time that you read with God that He will expose what He wants out of you. But it takes day one to commit to that. It takes day one to go, okay, you know, I'm tired of being dried up. I want to soap up who God is. And if I'm connected to God, if I'm reading the Word, if I'm reading Him, I can't help but go around and seep out Jesus. And everywhere I go, this is what happens. And when I'm squeezed, I can't help but go, Jesus is real. And He's all, I'm still learning. I don't have all the answers, but guess what, Ed? I love you. And we're in this together. No. I love you. But that's real love. If I want to be able to share the gospel, I got to know the gospel, right? Let me say that again. If I want to share the gospel, what's the gospel? Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins. Neighbor, Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins. You are not bound to those anymore. You are free from them. There's a new beginning, right? In this world with. And when we read the word, when we understand the word, it starts to transform us within. It starts to give us the answers of what we need to change, how we need to adapt. Listen, nobody in here can earn the salvation that Jesus provides. It's freely given, and nobody is perfect. Nobody stands above anybody else in God's eyes. He sees us. He loves us. But this is the desire. This is the desire. I desire this in the relationship that I have with anybody, but especially my wife. I want to be close. She needs to be the closest person in my life. I want her to know the deep, dark secrets within me, that she can be praying for me, that I can be praying for her. And I will lift her up, especially in the moments that she's the deepest in the well that she can be. I will be her biggest fan. I will also be her biggest critic. Lovingly. And she will be my biggest critic. Lovingly. You see, God, as we read scriptures, goes, listen, I need you. But these are some of the things that inhibit you from being closer to me. Your mouth. I mean, he talks about it. He says this in scripture. Capture every word before it comes out. Analyze it. Make sure it's something that glorifies God. If it's not, eat it. Throw it away. Allow God to have it, right? Like, these are not requirements to be saved, but they are the faith journey to draw closer to God. It makes his word active and alive in you. And if you go even further, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You see, when we read scripture and we are really reading scripture and we allow scripture to soak in us, it changes us. It transforms us. It moves in us. The spirit is there. And we are convicted. And conviction's not a bad thing. In fact, it's such a good and healthy thing. When we are convicted, we are pointed in the right direction. We are given new life. The thing that was a hindrance between me and God that I was putting there, and God's word goes, hey, listen, you don't need to be saying the things that you're saying. You don't need to be holding on to the grudges that you hold on to. Allow God to have them and let me use them, and you go and forgive those who are unforgivable because I will take care of it. Allow me to love your enemies, and when that, you go and love them the way that I've called you to love me. Woo! Like, these are the things that make scripture so alive. Because he's asking you to be the flesh and bone of it. It's still relevant. It's still alive if you allow it. And this is what I think. Don't let this day be the only day you hear scripture. Don't let this day be the only day that you hear the word of God. Start practicing time spending with his word. I don't care if you don't like to read. Guess what? I don't like to read. I like things being read to me. Yeah, I'm weird that way. But they got YouVersion app now. And I love it. If you have a phone, if you have Apple or Android or whatever, you can go to your stores, get the YouVersion. And guess what? It will read you in any kind of language. If you like to speak pidgin, I don't know what pidgin is, but you can listen to the Bible in pidgin. It's an Hawaiian language. It's crazy. I love it. God wants to be active. There's no excuses to not have his word involved in your life. And if time's the problem, it's really priorities that are a problem. Right? My question for you is this. My question is this. Is his word alive and active? Do you see it in your everyday talk, your everyday life, in your everyday who you are? Can you see scripture being lived out? I know growing up, I would read scripture and I would desire to be in the times of Jesus. Like, I just imagined it, right? I would have loved to have been one of his disciples. I always thought, man, wonder which one I would have been, right? I would have loved to just be in his presence, seeing the miracles, see him spit in somebody's eye and being okay with it. Right? And then him rubbing it, and then they could see. Seeing an invalid never being able to walk, and he just touches them and heals them, and they go out and run. And everybody's like, what? Have you been fooling us? Right? Seeing the moment that he sits at the well with the woman, the Samaritan woman, breaking all traditions, going out on a Sunday, on a Sabbath, and plucking grain, knowing, oh man, if we get caught, we're going to be in trouble. Like, Jesus was a rebel. And he was out there changing lives. And he looks at us and he says this in scriptures, those who come after me will do even greater things. Man, I want to be a part of that. Do you? In order to do that, his word has to be alive and active in you. Jesus needs to be moving. And I don't want to just preach a sermon and walk away and say, okay, good luck with you. Day one, hopefully it happens. I want to give us some tools. There's an app, and we're going to start as a church this Bible reading plan. You're welcome to join. There is no pressure. You don't have to. But this is just an opportunity for you to connect. And we're going to do it as a church as a whole. Now, this is an intense Bible reading plan. And I have papers that our ushers are going to hand out too. And if you don't want to get this on your phone, that's fine. But you can take a piece of paper, and it's got the whole list. And there's 10 lists. And on this list, there's like the list one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what you're going to do is read one chapter from each list every day. So Matthew 1 will start. And then you got Genesis 1, you'll start. And we do that together. And it's 10 chapters a day. That's a lot of reading. I want you to know the amount of time I spent with my wife when we started dating, I wanted to be with her all the time. Except for that first date. But when I really started falling in love with her, I wanted to know everything about her. I wanted her to know I loved her so much. Do you know the same thing? When I fell in love with Jesus because of what he did in my life, I could not put the scriptures down. I couldn't. To know what he did for me, I was not worthy to die for on the cross. But he saw me and said, you're worth it. He sees you. He loves you. He died for everything for you. I am new here. Every day I am new in his presence. You want to know how I know that? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And when I read scriptures and I dive into it, I discover how much he loves me. I discover how much I want to be the disciple that he has called me. I discover meaning and passion of my life. That's what this does. So it's important to involve it daily. It's important to involve it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if day two doesn't come, if you have to repeat day one again, that's okay. You know what? God loves you. And he's not got the same disappointment that we have, right? Like, there are many moments I know my wife, my my mom, the people around me, I have done things, I've said things, and I know that I have lived certain times, and I go, they are super disappointed in me right now. You know what he looks at and goes, I still love you. I still encourage you. I still see hope in you. I still know that I have a plan for you. And you just have to say yes. Are you ready for his word to be active and alive in your life? I want to give you a tool. If you want to join us in this, you're more than welcome. Right? And this is my other question for you too. You know, if you stumble on something and you're like, I don't understand that, ask. Ask me. Ask somebody. Ask anybody that you look at and go, I know they probably know this answer. Go and ask. Guess what that's called? Discipleship. That's called loving each other. That's called what we are supposed to do as a church body. When we have questions about what God is saying in something, because some of the scriptures really tough to understand. It's really tough to understand where God is coming in the Old Testament sometimes. Am I right? We have to ask these questions to help our walk, but it has to be asked, and that's what makes it alive and active. Are you ready to squeeze? Are you ready to soak people with your faith? Are you ready for the word to be active and alive in you? Are you ready to come up every motion, everything that's going on, every incident that you have, every, you know, frustration, stressor, home, work, when you're squeezed, is his word coming out of you? It's a great question. And it's for you personally to answer. And this is the cool thing. It can change today. It can change tomorrow. But don't let your faith be one day. Let your faith in your walk be day one. Let's start living it out together. Let's start reading his word and letting it be alive and active in us. Imagine what this church will be like in a year if we have saturated our lives in his word. When we're squeezed as a church, man, all that's going to come out is his holiness. I want to be that church. Stand with me. Our ushers have these, and if you want to grab it, please take it. If you want to join us, we're starting tomorrow, and you're welcome to start. And if it's a little too much, that's okay. Go at your pace. It's not a contest. This is not something that you try to accomplish. This is a relationship that you're having with God that you're just diving deeper into. And that's what we are called to do. All right? Church, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of the word that you have given us. Thank you for how you've changed our lives, how you motivate us, how you given us the word, and that word is Jesus. And Lord, may we understand that, may we live with it, may we absorb it, and Lord, when people come in contact it, I pray that we are oozing your holiness. I pray that we just can't help but want to get people splashed with your love, dear Lord. Lord, may your word be alive and active in us. May today be day one in that. May we go in your presence and understanding that. We give you all the praise. Amen. Church, you're dismissed. Ha 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 ha!